whether you like it or don't like it, sit down and look at it, because it's the best going today. Woo!
Welcome to the Jerkin' the Curtain podcast with your hosts, Dizzo, El Toro Loco, and the Vanilla Midget.
Welcome to the cast, guys. It's Dizzo.
What's going on, El Toro Loco?
And it's me, the Vanilla Midget. I don't know why I decided to do a Mexican accent. I'm sorry,
Did you just call yourself the Manila Midget?
I'm from the Philippines. Please help me in my country.
He's different every week, guys. The booty man. He's the booty man. He's the disciple. He's Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Vanilla
now,
Midget.
Now I'm Vanilla.
Yeah.
Now he's the Manila Midget.
I like envelopes.
What about him? What about the midget?
What about me? What about midgets?
That's so good.
So
next week I'll be Glacier, which means I'll be just boring all.
So you'll just be Roman Reigns?
I'll have a lot of hype. I have a lot of hype and just not live up to it.
Well, blood. Dude, how much more hype can you give someone and they're not gonna live up to Hollywood special effects hype when they get in the wrestling?
Oh man, you mean that lightning laser show that gave Glacier?
No, dude, I'm talking about
it was like someone took a strobe light and goes, oh, and a disco ball and put them together. It was like, here.
I'm talking about the vignettes. The vignettes were like shot on fucking sound stages.
It's like Blood Runs Cold.
Yeah, all that Blood Runs Cold stuff, all shot on sound stages.
Yeah.
Oh,
Mortal
man.
Kombat is like, wait a second, this looks familiar.
This is weird. And then Wrath and Mortis. They're like, okay, we got to start suing these guys.
they didn't learn their lesson from earlier on with Arachnaman.
But, oh, God, yeah.
But it was purple and yellow instead of red and blue.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. WCW was really awful with those gimmicks.
Fantasio? He was a magician?
Fantasio, Phantasm, Fantasio, yeah, the guy that he would
pull your underwear out. That was his gimmick.
Yeah,
finish it with the atomic wedgie.
I think he had maybe like two matches on Superstars, and then they were like, "Yeah, we're done."
Fantasio, his finisher was pulling a rabbit out of a hat. That's what I thought.
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of a hat.
So I guess let's start talking about
off the rails already.
We are
okay. So, well, no, he had one. Fantasio had one appearance on Wrestling Challenge.
Yeah, and they were like, "Whoa, this is too weird." So I remember seeing that. It was super weird.
Damien Demento.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck that guy.
He just looks like he's trying to hug you the whole match.
One of us watched Raw this week.
That would be me.
I know about it.
I know Raw exists, but I
right.
Oh, no, I'm meaning I read the results. I read the results. So.
Me, so did I. So
I'm in there. It was the whole Orton Rollins thing in the beginning, right?
Oh man, let me just tell you, I'm sitting there like listening to it because obviously there was a setup at the end, right? Like there was a big smile. Nobody fought. There was no match. Oh yeah, Randy Orton, like they show a pre-tape promo from like last week where Randy Orton was like, "I want to challenge Seth Rollins to a match at WrestleMania." It opens with Seth Rollins. He's like, "I accept this challenge on one condition: you fight me tonight."
Yeah, that was a little ridiculous. That was a little stupid. I thought that was a little stupid. Like how does that work?
But then why would I want to? Okay, say for instance, the network doesn't exist, and I'm paying, you know, $200 for WrestleMania, whatever they decide to charge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why would I want to watch? Why would I want to pay to watch that match when I just saw it?
No.
You know, it's dumb. It's dumb booking. No. But obviously, it turned into a big nothing at the end. But at the time, you're sitting there like, "But no."
That's a classic WWF move, dude. Where they're like,
it's like
when they have a pay per view the night before. And the title changes hands, and the person wants their immediate rematch on Raw. They're not gonna fucking win the belt.
And then I just saw this match. Like, those of you who miss WrestleMania, you could just watch it Monday night on Raw. Because, by the way, does anyone feel like WrestleMania is being booked like a giant episode of Raw?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think aside from Sting and Triple H, there's Sting and Triple H and Undertaker and Bray Wyatt, because Undertaker, I mean, he can't muster enough strength to wrestle more than once a year. Other than that, there's not going to, I don't think there's going to be any kind of finality to any of those feuds.
I really hope Brock Lesnar wins. Oh,
I think it'll make WrestleMania satisfying if he does. Like, makes
or
it
any scenario that involves like just ripping the title out of, like, Rollins cashing in, or I mean, even if Reigns wins,
not essentially ripping the title out of his hands, but maybe keeping that going a little longer. Yeah. So people are like,
Rollins tries to cash in on Reigns at the end of the match, but Reigns beats him anyway.
Yeah, could have that too.
Put him over more.
That'll make him look strong. It'll make him look strong.
I think he needs to change his look a little. Like, get rid of the SWAT vest.
He should probably stop coming out to the Shield theme too.
Yeah, and through the crowd.
Yeah, he's the only one left. Like, Rollins looks like he's going to a gay nightclub. Dean Ambrose looks like an extra in that movie Cruisin' with Al Pacino. And Roman Reigns, the only one that hasn't changed his outfit, I guess.
And Roman Reigns looks like Roman Reigns.
He looks real shieldy.
I do like, I will say, I do like Dean Ambrose's entrance theme, though.
I like his everything, man. He's awesome.
Do you think the WWE dropped the ball with not booking a triple threat with the Shield for the title at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Then you could have put Roman Reigns over. It didn't matter.
They could have had that whole, all of last year, they break the Shield up. They could have had all of last year to put them on like a collision course with each other.
Yeah.
And I thought that's what they're doing, because Rollins got the briefcase or whatever, and then Ambrose seemed like he was moving up, and obviously Reigns was the guy, but...
Who would have thought that Ambrose would be the one that would be stuck in the mid-card?
He's
the best out of all of them.
I think they're really... Well, look, they stuck Bryan there, too, and I really think it's just because they want to make the mid-card look stronger, too, because nobody gives a shit about the mid-card, dude.
I think it's WWE going... We listen to our fans. We ignore them, but we listen to our fans.
We just want you to know we acknowledge you, but that's
I'm
about
telling
it.
You right now. Look at the Intercontinental title match, right? Everybody but R-Truth is anybody you would put in top of the company. You know?
They have a really good mid card. They really do.
That's a strong mid card, and maybe, you know, it helps elevate the Intercontinental title a little bit.
I'd like that.
It would be lovely, especially if like Brian or Ziggler get it. Not Ziggler. Ziggler, there was one Ziggler would put the belt on Brian.
Yeah, if they put the belt on Brian, that would probably up the credibility.
Yeah.
Totally. And then have like just keep those guys under them. Like whoever has the belt, just keep the other guys around. Like, because you have Dolph Ziggler, you got Wade Barrett.
Yeah, but they got to book the title better and stronger right now.
They absolutely do.
Maybe this is step one. Maybe, I don't know. Vince McMahon lost it. I don't think he cares anymore.
It's time for him. He cares, but the problem is he's just so fucking out of touch. Or something's going on. Like,
yeah, but you think, say Triple H, who's, you know, according to other people, not me. I don't know him that well. He's like the best mind for the business. And it shows in NXT.
Yep.
Why wouldn't he? Like, I know he's got a voice backstage. Vince, this is wrong. This is wrong. Nope. I'm going to do it.
Well, it reminds me of like the Citizen Kane. He's like an eccentric old man. He's just going nuts.
Howard Hughes, man.
Yeah, he's fucking Howard Hughes now. Like,
yeah.
That's the only explanation I have for the ridiculous.
He's gonna come out on Raw one day. He's gonna have his feet in Kleenex boxes.
He's just be yelling Rosebud.
I actually like
when I was remember the Attitude Era. Yeah.
I actually like Daniel Bryan in the mid card and in the Intercontinental Title ladder match, because I feel like some people
not present company included, but I feel like some fans forget that he was in the business for a decade or more before he got to WWE. So he has a lot of experience, and I think that can be an asset to him with some of these younger guys, even Barrett or any of the other guys, Stardust or any of the other guys that are in the ladder match.
I also feel like this could be the best match of the show.
It probably will be. You mean not the Andre the Giant Battle Royal?
No, not with that lineup. Who are they pushing? They obviously use that to push someone. Who are they pushing? Axelmania? Is that what they're doing? They're going to push boring ass.
That would be funny if they pushed Axel after this. But I don't know who's even in the match.
He's absolutely improved with his silly gimmick.
He finally 7 years in the company, finally figured out how to get over.
Yeah, it's fucking entertaining. I'm not gonna lie. Except for the 1 week when he came out and said he's been in the Rumble for 32 hours.
Oh, he does that every week. He's got a counting clock.
But he said he wasn't. But it said 32 days, and the clock was behind him, and he goes 32 hours. I saw it on Botchamania.
Botchamania is the greatest. I love that show now. You got me watching that shit.
Oh,
what's up?
My thing about WrestleMania. You got two matches. Like, WrestleMania to me has always been like that culmination of a few months or 6 month feud or year long feud in some cases, right?
Yes.
There are two matches they could book for WrestleMania right now with good outcomes, and they didn't do it. And everybody who's involved is stuck in that fucking battle royal. And it's Goldust versus Stardust.
Yep.
And it's The Miz versus Sandow.
They
shit the bed by not booking those matches.
I did not, when I read the results for this Raw, I did not see the list of the guys in the battle royal. And I was like, oh, good. Right before WrestleMania, they're splitting up Mizdow. Sweet. And then I saw the list and I was like, fuck, what the hell is this?
Yeah, and then I think they can use it because Miz is like, oh, if you don't help me win the Battle Royal, you're fired. I'm thinking Sandow's going to win the Battle Royal by eliminating Miz last.
Yeah, that'll continue. That's a feud they need to come out of.
I'm still sucking Miz's dick right now. He's doing fucking fantastic work.
Oh, he's killing it. He's killing it.
Like, he finally found out, like, his post-Rock Cena involvement.
Yeah.
I just don't understand the quick kibosh on the Stardust Goldust feud.
I have a question.
What's up?
Don't you think it would have been better to have those feuds keep going and then the Andre Battle Royal would be NXT guys?
Yeah. Or at least a couple NXT guys.
They could have kept those feuds going without putting those three, four guys in there and just stuck NXT guys in.
Yeah.
Speaking of NXT, I last night I was watching some of that El Generico DVD I bought.
Uh-huh.
And the first match is him versus Kevin Steen.
Nice.
And the whole match, Kevin Steen just keeps yelling shit at the crowd, right? And, They hit each other and they're both down and the ref starts the 10 count.
Uh-huh.
And they're at 5. Kevin Steen starts rolling over and he gets up. He's like, "Shut up, ref!" And then he's like 8, and he's like, he's like 8, and he says 8, and he's standing up and he's like, "All right, I'm up."
Kevin Owens so good.
Audibly hear people going, "You suck," and he's just like, "No, I don't." Dude,
is he CM Punk in the Indies?
Yes, dude. Yeah, he's, like, he's funny.
"You suck. I hope your pants die."
Yeah, dude, he's so good.
Oh, shit.
You ever see his invisible microphone?
Yes. Yeah.
The greatest.
There's a lot of. I think I have like a. It's like a fucking one of these. I have like ROH DVDs that were released, and I got them off Netflix and. You know, got them off Netflix, and so I have them still. Right. There was like a CM, like some of the most of the DVD was CM Punk stuff from like ROH.
Yeah, I think I have
a few ROH DVDs, older ones. I have CM Punk, Samoa Joe, and a couple of like compilation ones.
There, he was. Kevin Steen was like a. Oh, he was just like a silly dude on the indies. When I saw him and met him at the ESW show.
Mm-hmm.
They set up the ring and it's in a fire hall. So they have like where the ring is. At each corner there are ceiling fans, and in the middle of like a triple threat match, he goes to each corner, gets on the top turnbuckle, and spins all the fans at the same time. People are like eating it up, and he's just doing simple stuff and making the crowd laugh. It was great.
You know, he just had knee surgery.
Yes, he did. 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, he's supposed to wrestle Alex Riley tomorrow.
I think he's gonna make that one.
So yeah, I'm watching NXT right a couple days after it aired.
Okay.
And they're showing I'm sorry, Dan. It's not a special, so you know, forgive me.
Yeah.
Okay.
We know you didn't see it.
But they're showing like, you know, like the advertising for them being on the road.
Yes.
And they're showing like Kevin Steen, you know, telling Alex Riley, "I'll end your career." Blah blah blah. The only thing is, it hasn't happened yet on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I was really pissed off about is I was going through something, and it was like, they were live in like Cleveland or fucking Columbus.
Fucking
went to that shit.
Yeah, they were both. It was right around that whole shit.
It's like the beginning of the month, right?
Yeah, it was around that whole Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mr. Olympia thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess I don't remember the Columbus one, but the Cleveland one sold out in like hours, from what I heard.
We really need to do a road trip to a wrestling show.
Oh, for sure.
Not just like, you know, to places close to here, but like Ohio or some shit. I don't know.
If I saw an NXT show that if I would have seen that, it would have been on.
Hell yeah, on like Donkey Kong.
Fuck yeah, dude! I'll take a Greyhound right to that shit.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, boy. I didn't watch this week's or last week's NXT at all because I was getting ready to fucking leave. So
yeah.
Oh, did I watch it? Wait.
Well, the NXT episodes are what, an hour long?
Yeah, it's not hard to catch up. Like,
yeah, so maybe I'll speed watch like three or four of them and just like.
Well, that's all. I think there's only been like three or four since the last special, so you'd be good.
Nice.
And there's a special coming in a couple of weeks, so Dan, you know,
yeah,
it's your time.
Up. You know,
catch
he'll
up, catch up, catch
you
up.
Know, you know, he'll definitely watch that though. He'll be like, oh, special! I made time for that 2 hours, not the other 1 hour shows.
But I just recently started making time for the specials because I didn't see the one in whatever. There was one in like September, and then one a few months before that.
I was much like you. They would talk about they would say something about specials. Special coming up like during Raw or whatever.
Right.
And I'd be like, oh, I'll watch that. And then I watch it and that's it. I'm like, and every time I watch it special, I go, I think I'm just going to start watching this show. And then I never do. But since the last one, I've been watching it.
Yeah, I've been watching steadily for about 4 months, 5 months.
Oh, yeah. It's.
I would catch an episode here and there. This you know, week, I know who the characters
what,
are.
What the last week was probably Alex Riley versus CJ Parker then.
Yeah.
Which, Alex Riley is very intense. So guys, Sting and Orton side by side against the Authority.
No, Sting. I think Sting's character is ineptly dumb as shit. Always picking on people that are gonna fucking eventually turn on him.
You think Orton's gonna turn? I don't think there's gonna be any more kind of relationship between the two of them.
I don't know, but it's like let me align myself with this crazy guy who just fucking RKOs people for no fucking reason.
Let me align myself with the guy that, like, just 2 months ago was buddy-buddy people.
Right.
If I showed up 2 months ago, I'd be feuding with him.
This guy is called the Viper.
Oh, he's the Scorpion.
Right. I really hate the fact that Michael Cole has given Sting the nickname the Vigilante. What the fuck?
I think it's much like I feel like somebody's in the gorilla position, like saying "call him the demon Kane," and then somebody else in gorilla like he's the Vigilante.
And it's like please stop.
My big book of wrestling names. He's the Booty Man Sting. No, wait, no, sorry.
So if he's the vigilante and they're bringing up all this WCW shit, so what's their excuse that Sting didn't show up earlier? Was he walking?
He walked from Atlanta to whatever city they're in.
Yeah, and every time he finally got there, they were someplace else because he couldn't get a car.
Like Morgan in The Walking Dead. He's there, but he's...
Dude, what is going on in The Walking Dead? We can't talk about that right now. I don't know where I'm going.
We can briefly, but...
This is not what I'm caught up in. This is not what was happening when they're in this place in the comic book.
No, I didn't read the comic, so I'm enjoying it. And last week's episode was one of the most brutal episodes.
Yeah, it was very brutal.
The season finale is WrestleMania.
Oh well.
Is it anything like True Blood was? Because I know I haven't watched True Blood in a long time.
Oh, it's much.
True Blood's over. And this is way better than True Blood.
It's much more serious.
Well, no, what I'm saying is the first season of True Blood, I read the first book in the series, and there was differences between the HBO series and the book.
Oh, I think they went off the rails with True Blood and HBO. I think they're very different from the books, but I never read any of them.
Yeah.
But from what I heard of the books, HBO went in a very different direction. True Blood's like super campy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Walking Dead is like very serious,
right?
You know what else was very serious?
My friend texted me. He watched the episode before me, and he goes, "I think they went too far."
Hmm.
Yeah. No.
They took an emotional scene and made it terrifying.
Oh,
that was terrifying.
Glad, though, like watching.
Exactly, dude. They
spoilers, by the way, if you're listening. Yeah.
They picked him up and they pushed his face right so he had to like look at him and had no choice. It was like
Glenn had every right to beat the shit out of that guy.
Absolutely. It's weird how they're trying to make good guy, the people they root for every week, the bad guy.
Yo, man, I'm telling you right now. Two weeks ago. When they first got to Alexandria, right?
Yeah.
The very end of the episode, Rick said something along the lines, though, like, and if we if something, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
he's
we'll
just take this place.
He's like, right? The guy's like, I don't know about these people. I don't know about these people. He's like, well, he's like, if we give them time, we still don't know about them. He's like, guess we just take it over.
Right. And when he said that, the you know, music played in the credits. But the governor's theme started playing very lowly.
I didn't catch that. That's weird.
I was like, ooh, and I had my friends rewatch it, so they can, you know, for confirmation, because maybe I was going crazy.
Well, that
anyway.
One chick is
speaking of wrestling.
Okay, yes, wrestling. Yes, sorry.
17 was a good one.
WrestleMania 17.
WrestleMania. Yes.
WrestleMania live.
WrestleMania 17.
Onward in our road to WrestleMania, week 3.
Week 3.
Woo!
Because we are actually going to go. We're actually going to go back in time next week to WrestleMania 3.
Yes. Yes. Everybody's agreed upon WrestleMania. I like it. 17. This started out with a. William Regal and Chris Jericho.
Yes.
As all pay-per-views should ever start.
Yes. What I do like about the 14 and like the later WrestleManias is that they actually have a production truck, and if you didn't really remember what was going on, they give you that recap, you know?
Yeah.
I really like that.
Those guys are the real MVP.
Absolutely.
The video guys.
Dude, that the Rock Austin My Way one, that was amazing. Amazing.
Fucking only time I'll ever like Limp Bizkit. This time.
What makes you want to? It makes you want to like him. Like, okay, like this song has a purpose now.
Right.
But yeah.
I mean, that was it. Was like a. The match was just a little over 7 minutes, but it was a good match. There was a lot of back and forth action in it. And
you know, the thing about Regal is, and maybe you guys will agree, I don't know, but Regal's one of those guys that when I was younger, I kind of never got into his matches. But as I got older and more aware of like how the business, how like matches are supposed to work,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, Stephen Regal. Yeah, I could dig it.
Yeah, like it was weird. Like it was until like my late teens, early 20s that I all of a sudden started respecting him as like a performer and what he was able to do.
Yeah. I didn't like Lord Stephen Regal. I didn't like the man's man Stephen Regal or William Regal, whatever. But yeah. As I got older, I was like, oh, he's good. Remember that day he started to shut down Raw? Man, he could have won the title at WrestleMania that year. Then he fucking got suspended.
Yeah, he seems like a really cool guy. Like I enjoy listening to him on podcasts. I enjoyed reading his book. He just seems like a really in his personal life he'd be like a really down to earth guy.
Yeah, actually he's got a book that's supposed to be really good. I haven't read it.
It's good, but it's edited weird, but it's good.
Did we lose Chris?
No, I'm here.
There he is.
I'm here. I had to sneeze. I had to mute a minute.
Ah, gotcha. So, yeah, the second match was a really short match.
It was the Right to Censor.
Right to Censor versus the Acolytes and Taz.
Hey, remember when Taz was a wrestler?
For like 5 minutes in WWE. Yeah, I remember that.
There was a good promo that Bradshaw did though when they were in the back.
Yeah.
Right before the.
He just like, cool. Put over things.
Yeah, he was just putting everything over. He was like home of blah,
Texas.
Blah, blah.
And you know what else is in Texas? Houston. We're in Houston now. NASA. NASA's in Texas.
Sorry, just yelling names out.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, this match.
Remember them? They were a team.
This match was like a little less than 4 minutes and Taz and the Acolytes won. It was kind of out of nowhere. All of a sudden it was like back and forth, a little bit of a scrum, and then boom, Bradshaw with the clothesline from hell. I was like,
You could tell everybody was like you could tell everyone was like really amped up in this match because like Farouk go to do like the throw him into the ropes and do the power slam. The guy coming to that power slam like jumped into it and like threw himself over instead of like catch him and do it. Like, and then there was like a back body drop where Bradshaw just totally picked the dude up and like it kind of stopped in midair. So he had to use like all his strength to push a whole body over.
Right, right. Did we mention in the previous match that Chris Jericho won? I don't remember if we mentioned that.
I don't think we did.
Yeah, but Chris Jericho won and retained the Intercontinental title.
And by the way, real quick. Say what you want about this podcast, but you know where else are you going to find the use of the word scrum?
Yes,
scrum. You did it.
Yes,
it
was yes.
the thing about this match that always bothered me is how the Goodfather character never took off.
Yeah, I think they could have done a lot more with Right to Censor. Like they were like just on the horizon of getting over, but they never really got over.
It was there because of the fucking Parents Television Council.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Vince was like, oh, we'll take a shot at them. Right. Didn't leave Al.
The next match was the hardcore triple threat match, which was Kane, Raven, and the Big Show.
This was fun.
It was fun. I wonder, watching it,
Kane
I wonder. What's that?
I forgot. Kane, Big Show, and who?
Raven.
I wondered if Vince just wrote a blank check to the Astrodome, like they're gonna fuck some shit up, so here. Just
dude, fucking threw Raven through a fucking plate glass window.
That's right. You know, I don't remember that. I just watched this a couple days ago.
Right. And it was a cool match. It was fun.
And then they went next door. Kane and Big Show went next door and broke down the doors leading up to the room that Raven was in.
Yeah, yeah. Yo, and then Kane almost killed Raven with the golf cart.
Dude, that match was insane. Like, I remember watching that match live, and I was like, this is kind of wild. And then when I watched it yesterday again, I was like, holy shit.
It was fun, man. Big Show, or Kane won, as they had a spot where Big Show, they were on the ramp, and Big Show picked Raven up in a press, and Kane big booted Big Show in the face, and they both fell over into this, you know, one of those poofy electrical box thingies on the side of the ramp. Yeah. And Kane did a leg drop off the ramp.
Nice.
What did he get walk today?
Yeah, right? Raven looked like he was dead. I thought Raven died in this match. Dude, they were just
it was basically
Big Show and Kane beating the living fuck out of Raven, and then they finally put him out of his misery. And Kane pinned Big Show.
Raven woke up, thought he was full master for practice.
Dude, what the hell? There's a spot where they threw him onto a table of Snapple bottles that all smashed. Yeah, they're like, there's that. JR with his enthusiasm is like, all the Snapples are broken.
And then Paul Heyman goes, my favorite kind, Dave Peach. I was like, you're right.
Anyway. Goes unnoticed. JR and Paul Heyman as a team, I'll take it any fucking time.
Oh, absolutely. It was really good. They were perfect.
They were awesome. The next match was Latino. He, Eddie Guerrero, and Test for the European title. I actually kind of enjoyed that match. I've always been a – is anybody who listens to the podcast, all of you can attest to a big Eddie Guerrero. Eddie Guerrero fan, but I've always respected Test. I wasn't a huge fan of him. Yeah.
Does Dan's voice sound messed up to you?
Yeah. Hold on.
It sounds a little distorted over here.
I'm fixing that. All right, go ahead. You're good. Talk. Get back into it.
I'm good.
Yeah, you're good. Go ahead.
Okay. I've always been not a big fan of Test, but I've always respected Test because he never was in a match that I saw that he phoned it in. Like, he always tried, it seemed. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't the best, obviously, but he never had a dog shit match where he just kind of phoned it in.
I guess you're right. I mean, I don't know enough about Test match to agree with you, but I think you're right. But it also helps when you work with Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, yeah. It just kind of sucks that he got fucked up with the pills and stuff, you know?
Well, yeah. He had a shitty fucking rap from the beginning. Oh, this guy's Motley Crue's bodyguard. Super duper. Like, because I gave a shit. But
that match against Shane McMahon, though.
Oh, yeah. In the ring, like, he was a good worker, man. Like, but he was working with, like, all the best guys. So it helped. It helped.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And
Eddie Guerrero, did we say Eddie Guerrero won the match? I don't know.
We didn't really talk about it that much. That match had a lot of radical interference.
It did. Oh my god. the spot where Perry Saturn literally walks past the referee in almost full view. And, like, as the referee's going over to Eddie Guerrero. Saturn walks in and, like, no big deal. Boom. Hits his moss-covered three-legged credenza, whatever the fuck his move is.
moss-covered?
I don't know what the fuck it's called.
Credenza? What? I don't even think that's a thing.
Whatever Saturn's finisher was called at the time.
Is that Sally Driver?
No,
dude. He hit like a
like a weird neck breaker where, like, with the leg hooked or something.
Yeah, it looked like he was going for a perfect plex, and then he spun it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Instead of lifting and doing a fisherman suplex, he had him in a fisherman suplex like he was going to do it, and then he just spun up.
No, it's a swinging cradle suplex. It's called
the
Moss
covered credenza. Now I remember.
The Moss covered three handled family credenza.
Three handled family credenza.
That's what I'm getting off of Wikipedia. I don't fucking know.
Then Malenko came down.
My favorite Saturn finisher was the Rings of Saturn, to be honest with you.
Yeah, dude, that was an awesome. I used to love doing that on the Nintendo 64 once.
Yeah,
I used to like doing that to my brother.
Yeah, that's fun.
Me too.
You wrestled my brother? Oh. That's interesting.
Isn't that awesome?
No, not your brother. I wrestled my brother.
That makes more sense.
Right. So the next match was the Kurt Angle versus the guy that doesn't exist anymore.
So Kurt Angle wrestled himself for 20 minutes?
So Kurt Angle wrestled vacant.
Kurt Angle wrestled vacant, a.k.a.
Chris Benoit.
Yeah, let me stop you guys for a second. This show, we're going to talk about Chris Benoit. Just saying.
Yeah, no, I know. I like to make stupid jokes.
No, I know, me too.
We're just gonna try not to get as serious as we did that one episode.
Oh yeah, we did get serious. We did get real serious.
We got like super serious towards the end. Like, this is fucking heavy. We need to not go this direction again.
What is it? I'm not putting a parental advisory on the top of this podcast. So if you're fucking butthurt about Chris Benoit, then fuck off. I don't care.
It's been 7 years. I mean, 8 years, whatever. I mean, it still bothers me, but I can't. I was talking to my brother today. Like, he tries to send like stupid joke pictures about it, like. I'm just like, this is not funny at all.
It's not. No, it's not. Like, nobody knows what happened, but what's in the realm of what happened is super screwed up. Yeah. You know?
Well, what I do appreciate, though, is that, like, a week later, I was at a show, and a guy had a sign. Kevin Sullivan did it.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Oh,
just set him up. Chris, here's the likely scenario. Kevin Sullivan did it, set up Chris Benoit. Chris Benoit came home, killed himself.
Yeah. Or Kevin Sullivan killed Benoit.
Or that happened.
It looked like a murder-suicide.
But yeah. I mean, forensics even 7 years ago was pretty advanced, so I think they got it, dude.
Yeah, I think they got it right.
Yeah.
But of course, I think the National Enquirer was like, Kevin Sullivan is a satanic person, and da-da-da, like... That's a little bit of a reach.
In the 70s, early 80s, he did have the satanic character, and wrestling fans were idiots, so
they believed that was true.
He did have Hulkamania.
He did.
Yeah.
Tried to.
Right.
Anyway,
so,
moving on.
Chris Benoit, Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle match was a great match.
Oh, yeah.
It was weird. Like, the pacing was weird to me. Like, the first 5 minutes or so was hold for hold, and then they kind of realized, you know, this is not going to work, because I think like the crowd just died, like all of a sudden just it went down to like a pin drop, and they were like, you know, we got to switch this up a little bit, but it was a good match. I enjoyed it. Kurt Angle
like
won
best,
in the end.
That's my favorite pace of a match. They start out really slow, and then it goes into like the false finishes and stuff.
Yeah.
Or those guys are submission guys. So it'd be like one guy gets a submission on, the guy goes through the ropes, reverses it, he gets his submission on, shit like that.
The one guy puts the other guy in his own submission move.
Yeah, where it starts out real slow, like they're fucking riding a moped.
Yeah, I do like the slow builds in the match.
It starts out like they're riding a moped, and then all of a sudden at the end, Lamborghinis.
Yeah, what the fuck, how'd they get here?
Exactly. I love when matches go like that. It's really nice.
Yeah.
Next.
Next on the agenda. Next match was, if you could call it that, was China and Ivory for the women's championship. Like, what the? It's like, it was kind of like, China's going to kick the shit out of Ivory and win the women's title.
Roll on the booking. That's when, like, China was still looking good, but not in the face.
Right, yeah.
She's like, oh, you had a drug problem, didn't you?
She was trying to look great. Her eyes were very pretty, but her face is very pig-like, and I don't like that. Her body looked great, man. It was like she stopped being a bodybuilder and decided, like, hey, I'm going to try to make myself look like a woman.
Hey, Regis.
It was I you know what I was even I was watching this and Christopher was here.
Right.
He's like, wasn't there something? He's like, didn't she used to be real ugly? I go, I mean, she's still ugly, but at least she was trying here. And he goes, oh no, he asked me if she took steroids, and I go, I don't think that she took steroids. I think that she was a bodybuilder. She was a bodybuilder when she first came around, and then when she got more into wrestling, she took the muscle off and just toned.
Right.
I mean, she definitely got a chin job because her chin was way smaller than when she started.
She had no chin. She was all jaw.
Yeah, it was just she always looked deep in thought.
2000, 2001 is probably if anyone was to say China was hot, that was probably the hottest she was gonna get.
Yeah, it's like when she came in 97, she was much more the bodybuilder. Like it was kind of like whoa.
Oh yeah, I was like, is that a dude?
Right.
So China, let me ask you a question. Got a penis?
Dude, those fucking whoever let her have a webcam is a fucking idiot.
Whoever let her have, never mind. I was gonna say something really bad. Never mind. Continue.
Whoever let her have a mini dick. That was a
bad joke. No.
Whoever let her have sex with an Xbox on tape.
You think?
Yeah, it's true.
Well, that was probably the melding of both their minds on drugs.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put the blame on both of them. Obviously,
I'm sure if you ask Sean Waltman now, he's like, that was a horrible time and a bad mistake.
You know what's really funny about Sean Waltman is he sounds the most now like he's on drugs, and I don't think he's on drugs now.
Right, he's sober now, but he sounds like he's on drugs.
He sounds like Keanu and Bill and Ted.
He looks like Keanu and Bill and Ted.
Yes, he does.
I honestly think he's one of those guys that I would sit there and shoot the shit with and lose track of time. And like, it would be like 6 hours later. And
you know, he's got stories.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure, dude.
Yeah. That's the kind of guy who's like super laid back. So you could probably talk to him for hours, you know?
Yeah. And then you're like, well, sorry to, take up a couple hours of your time. He's going to be like, bro, we've been here for like 6 hours. And you're like,
bro, it's Monday. What the fuck?
You want to know, hey guys, you want to know a guy that you can't talk to for hours?
Who's that?
His name's Animal.
Oh, you can't talk to him for hours?
No, you can't.
Can you talk to him for minutes?
No, dude, like 30 seconds.
Is it because of management and poor decisions, or like he can't talk because he can't shoot together a sentence?
I think I mistook it, and it wasn't RF video. It was High Spots that was there. And whoever the guy that was running the High Spots table seemed to be taking the money and doing the deals for like the pictures and the autographs and stuff.
Right.
So he was with High Spots, and what was it? The guy at the table was cool.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably his management. Like, that guy didn't seem to have a care in the world. He was like, all right. He was like, hey, man, yeah, it's pictures such and such, autographs such and such. He's like, and basically let you just, like, that he had a little table next to the vendor table mm-hmm. that he was sitting at the whole time. And after you pay, the guy was just didn't bother you. And then I go to talk to him, and I'm like, hey, yeah, it's weird that you're here, because I was like 3 days ago, I was just watching WrestleMania 14. You guys came back. And he's like, yeah.
Huh.
Something for football now.
Then I go, all right, can I get a picture?
Well, I wonder, like, I'm not really trying to play devil's advocate or anything, but I wonder if maybe you said it was like towards the end of the night, so he was just kind of like, I've talked to so many fucking people right now.
Yeah, because
I just need a break.
I think I got the picture.
Maybe he just hated that return.
I'd gone through that room earlier before I went there, and I was like, I was just walking through, and I was like, oh, sweet, the wrestling table's here, because then I bought another mask, and I did that real quick, and I was like, you know what? I was like, I thought about it, and I was like, I'll come back, and I'll try to see what the price is like for this guy, and I'll see, maybe we'll get into a conversation, and I'll see if he wants to do a soundbite. Like, couldn't get a conversation going whatsoever, and I was just like, fuck it, let's take the picture.
Right.
It was crazy.
That's a bummer. That's a bummer.
I mean, they were huge in the 80s, really, and I don't have a lot of information because I didn't really give a shit about NWA.
Yeah.
Is maybe that might sound bad to some people, but I just really didn't. I was just really young, and I started with WrestleMania 3. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't know anything about the NWA.
I started later than that. Like, I didn't really get schooled on the Horsemen until later on. Like like late teens, early 20s.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
When the internet really started booming, and then I was able to get more research on the Horsemen and Magnum TA and all those guys. I mean, of course, you know about like Dusty Rhodes and a little bit this and that about some of the guys. I knew a little bit about Flair, but I knew tidbits about Flair and nothing about really the other Horsemen.
Oh, yeah.
Other than like Arn, but.
Yeah, I knew about. I mean. Once I got more into wrestling, I knew who Ric Flair was, but that was about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's just keep going. I'll talk about this after.
So the next match was fucking awesome. Shane McMahon and Mr. McMahon in the street fight.
Oh my God. The biggest pop of the night was when Linda stood up off that chair.
I love this match. There's times that I've just watched this match, just be like, I want to watch this match again. I want to see McMahon get the shit kicked out of him. Because it was just a good match.
I liked it. I liked it a lot for a
ball. Yeah, Shano won with a Van Damminator, which was fucking awesome.
I love how ridiculous the storyline was, but how legitimate the sell was by JR. Like,
yeah.
some points during the match, he's like. Vince McMahon said he never wanted Shane. He wished he was never born.
Who says that?
Yeah. Right?
But you know, Linda McMahon gets a lot of credit for A, putting up with that shit, and B, that whole match just sitting there catatonic.
You know, right? That's another thing that Christopher was sitting there, and he's like, how do they wheel her out? And she has absolutely no reaction. There's like 65,000 people there, and she's just keeping a straight face.
She's got an iPod on, fucking listening to music.
Yeah. I wonder if she was in some sort of like meditative state, and then like, okay,
she's good. Even when they did the spot toward the end where they're like pushing her around, and like Shane was out and Vince McMahon was like yelling at her and he was about to do something to her.
Yeah, and he put her in the ring.
Yeah, he put her in the ring. She like died when he rolled her in the ring.
That was like a super weird time. Like all of a sudden, like Trish turns on Vince. Smacks him. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was weird.
I don't remember the follow up to that angle, but
I also don't.
Man, I remember watching it live, and you know, like what? And when Linda stood up, I was like, oh shit!
Yeah, oh my god! Yeah, you knew it was on then.
it was pretty cool. The next
McMahon, Family Jewels.
She got him right in the Family Jewels.
Right in the Family Jewels.
The next match was TLC 2, Edge and Christian, the Dudley Boys, and the Hardys.
Walking at the end of this match.
There isn't much to say that probably hasn't been said about this match already.
No,
incredible.
Like the first TLC match and the other gimmick matches involving any of these three teams, whether it was one team versus the other or three teams, just amazing.
I'm pretty sure I remember at the time watching this thinking, when they were coming out going, how do they top the first one?
Right.
Like all the matches, like the first one was the Terry Invitational Tournament.
Yeah.
With the Hardys and Edge and Christian.
Yep.
Right.
And that was like the first tag team match. And it was for a bag of money.
Yes.
Right.
And you're like, oh, that was a really good match. Both teams got a standing ovation. You're like, oh, that was interesting. Right. You know, never seen that from a crowd before.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the Dudleys got involved and you're like, I loved every
match that had an ECW guy in it. Paul Heyman was all over it.
Right. Yeah. Well, like I was trying to say yesterday, guys, when we were going back and forth and the Facebook messaging, do you guys think that? Because I feel like the Dudleys were already established to a certain extent when they came to WWF, WWE, without these gimmick matches, whether it's the TLC, the Terry Invitational, all these other matches, do you think it would have been more difficult for Edge and Christian and the Hardys to get over with the fans?
I don't know about
more difficult, but it would have probably taken longer based on personalities.
Yeah.
The thing is that question is a loaded question, and I couldn't think of the words to respond to it.
Because
you could say that about anything. With Hogan being big, if he didn't slam Andre, you know?
I think that they might have been... Yeah, it might have taken them longer to get over, but I also think the addition of the Dudleys put longevity on that kind of match to where it was like, okay, here's two teams. They can only do so much. Right. Now let's add this team, and it made it more. You know what I mean?
Right. I think it definitely hot-shotted their popularity
coming out of the match.
And if you asked me at that time, if you asked me that question at that time, I probably would have told you the Dudleys made it, because anyone that came from ECW to WWF, I always thought was getting the short end of the stick. Like when the Dudleys first came in and Bubba was doing that like stuttering thing, I was like, what the hell are they doing with the greatest tag team on the planet right now?
Well, that's how the Dudley started in ECW, with Bubba stutter.
When Taz came in and he beat Kurt Angle, I was like, yeah, that's right. That's how you bring Taz in.
Then there was the apex of his character, followed by a nosedive.
I had a love-hate relationship with WWF, where I was like, I really loved ECW, and I kind of tolerated WWF. I was like, oh, this is entertaining, but ECW is ECW, and I don't care.
Yeah.
And then when I started seeing like they were pretty much copying everything they were doing, I was like, okay, cool. I mean, I'm pretty sure this is the direction that wrestling needs to go, but they're essentially copying the company that did it all before. Right. And that's nice. WWF's there.
Right. ECW's were hipsters.
ECW to me was like that. That was number one to me. And then I watched
New Jack was like, I was jumping off balconies before it was cool, man.
Yeah, and he was like, but he was like, Honky Tonk Man, show me how to swing a guitar.
So Edge and Christian won this match. TLC 2.
Edge and Christian won all these matches.
Because the man,
they won a lot of them.
Because the man beast Rhino from Detroit, Michigan.
The man beast from Detroit,
Michigan. carried Christian up the ladder on his shoulders to get the belts down.
That's the thing. Right, that was very anticlimactic, like the way it ended.
Yeah, it was like,
because, you know, Devon was on one end, and then just Christian was, you know, on Rhino's shoulders, and he pulled him down.
Yeah, but all those huge spots like happened back to back prior. And then it seemed very anticlimactic that, like, all of a sudden they just, like, Rhino.
Yeah, it wasn't like that celebratory moment. But, like, I think Christian, I was like, oh, it's my time to take the belts? Okay.
Okay, I'll get him down.
Right. I thought it was cool how they incorporated Spike, Rhino, and Lita into the match, because
it was all cool, yeah.
You kind of had to do something more, a little wrinkle that was different than the previous matches.
Rhino?
Edge.
Rhino took the real
Jeff Hardy.
Oh God!
Off his title belt.
How do you learn to fall off a 20-foot ladder?
I actually posted that clip on Facebook last night.
You did.
Facebook, Instagram.
Like, Hardy took the bump straight on his back, which he's supposed to.
Right.
But Edge took it all on his knees, man.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
How much padding did he have? I hope he. Oh man, he probably got fucked.
And that table bump with Rhino and Spike Dudley. I think Rhino took the most of that, and his table didn't even break.
Right, right. Oh no, because the four tables, that was
the
Matt,
four tables
Matt was, Hardy and Bubba, right?
Yeah, Matt Hardy was bleeding.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy was bleeding from the face.
Yeah.
He's
bleeding from the face.
It was Spike Dudley and Rhino laying on tables, and Jeff Hardy did a swan down off the ladder.
He completely
landed on Rhino, but the table with Spike Dudley on it broke, and Rhino's did not. I was like, oh, nice. I was like, that had to hurt Rhino's whole body.
Nice.
Spike died for the whole rest of the match too.
Yeah. So the next match was, and I think I mentioned this to you, Chris. The fucking gimmick battle royal. The introductions was a good 10 minutes, and the match was just over 3 minutes.
Okay, let me ask you guys a question about this. Mark, do you remember watching this part?
Yeah, I remember this.
Okay, are you here now?
I remember marking out a little with Heenan and Heyman sitting right next to each other.
Because I was watching this today, and it seemed like they cut part of the intro. The intros of the guys coming out, they like cut it a little. And then there was, when Heenan first came out, it seemed like he started talking and they were muting him a little bit.
I didn't notice that.
In the beginning, when he first sat down and started talking, he was like saying something to Okerlund and it muted. And then he said like two words and it seemed like it muted out again. And I was like, what the fuck?
Huh.
I was like, damn, what did Bobby say?
Yeah, but the network does.
Having a good time with that.
Network does weird shit like that sometimes, I've noticed. Like, the way they edit some stuff.
Dude, I fucking love Heenan, dude. And like, he made everybody's long-ass entrance fucking awesome. He's like, the Bolshevik... What the fuck is that guy's name? Nikolai Volkov came out. He's like, underneath that hat, he's like, you know, there's nothing in that hat.
What about Mean Gene calling Earthquake John Tenta when he was eliminated?
Yeah, I've seen that. Oh, John, no, Earthquake.
My favorite was when the rebrand was coming out. Mean Gene was like, 14 years ago, he took my mom in the car.
He was like, 14 years ago,
everyone had your mother-in-law.
Bobby Heenan was like, just this morning, he repoed his own car.
But Heenan was like zinging Ogle Heaven. I kind of wish that Heenan and Heyman had some sort of exchange there.
Heenan was so money. Like
he
you
was
could see
it, dude.
You could definitely see that Heenan and Oakland were genuinely happy to be back.
They're talking about the gobbledygooker. He was like, "Didn't you date her?"
We have a history. Oh, so you did date her.
Oh man.
Dude, that's so good.
He was another one. Heenan was another one that he definitely did his job. Like growing up when I was a younger fan, I hated him just because he was that whether he was a manager or he was an announcer, he could get that white heat like without even trying. And when I got older, I started respecting him.
Yeah, he's the same guy. He's the same guy, dude. When I was a kid, like. I was totally, I was a kid, so I was like, yeah, I hate that guy, Weasel or whatever. But when I got older and watched the footage, I was just laugh at him. Like, I'm sure I mentioned this before, there was a time, like, something happened, there was like there was some kind of like, the ref's back was turned, somebody got hit with an object, and then they're like, didn't you see that, Bobby? And he's like, no, my monitor cut out.
Yeah,
like shit like that,
so,
dude. And like,
so good, man.
When I hear that as I got older, I'm like, oh my god, this guy was a genius.
Yeah, good.
Did you see, at the end when Owen went to shake his hand, he kept doing all the fake outs.
Yeah. This match was essentially about those two. Like, who won that?
So mercifully, the Iron Sheik won the gimmick battle royal.
Hillbilly Jim looked like his action figure, man. I swear to God,
dude. Hillbilly Jim looked like he stepped straight out of the '80s.
What the hell? Dude, all the ones still looks like what they look like.
Earthquake and Tugboat look pretty similar too.
Well, Earthquake was amazing. Gets sick. You can tell he lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, he did. I like they're like, you think those two are gonna team up? He's like, it's every man for himself.
Okay, he did.
So good.
So it's
the street fight, right?
No, after this was the first Undertaker Triple H match at a WrestleMania.
Yeah, I thought they were a street fight for some reason. I don't know.
Real quick, I think right before this match or right before the main event, they showed like a WrestleMania access package.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Undertaker in the John Cena role.
What happened?
With the Undertaker in the John Cena role.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was very weird to see like Undertaker break. You know, well at the time he was the American Badass, but you know, for most of his career. You know, the walking zombie.
Yeah, you know what else was weird?
Huh?
Kane talking about his experience through the mask.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it's a good time.
Like, just hanging out, meeting the fans, you know? It's really cool.
Sitting here in my mask, chilling. A little bit ill.
What the fuck?
I met
Kane on the streets in Miami.
Really? Wow.
Yo, totally random. I'm sitting with my brother, Mike.
Yep.
And... we're eating breakfast because we're going to get ready. It's the day of WrestleMania, I believe.
Okay.
I can't remember. And we're going to head out soon to go to the arena. I'm sitting there eating breakfast, and I see Kane walk by the little diner thing we were sitting in. Mm-hmm. I didn't even say a word to my brother. I was like, I'll be right back. And I ran. I called him. I'm like, Kane, I took his picture, whatever. He took the picture.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I went back to him. What was that about? I'm like, Kane, he walked by. I had to go get his picture.
when I was watching that match earlier with the hardcore match, I was thinking, did he never have long hair, or what? Or at what point did he not have long hair?
I think he had. I always thought he had long hair. No, the day he took the mask off the first time,
yeah,
he cut it because you could tell when he came out he had the wig.
Yeah. I didn't know when. I didn't know when that happened. I'm like, because it was actually a pretty good wig.
Yeah, no, the access though, I think it was his hair.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it was like had a couple, like, what did that happen in 2002, right? When they had the Van Damme thing. That was the first time.
Oh,
right?
Oh no, 2003 maybe. 2003.
Yeah, it was Bischoff. So yeah, 2000.
Yeah, Bischoff. Yeah, because I think like that was during the phase of Triple H having the weird colored tights. Like, I'm gonna wear white. I'm gonna wear purple. I'm gonna wear whatever the fuck color I want. Like,
no,
okay.
He started wearing like different boots too. Like, somebody wear white boots also.
Right.
This Undertaker and Triple H match. This is the one where they fight out into like the ramp, right?
Yeah. No, it was weird. Like, I wonder if I think Kyoto was the referee. I think.
Oh, it's Hebner.
And was it Hebner? Are you sure?
Nope, not sure anymore.
No, I think it was Kyoto. No, I don't remember.
Because
I think Hebner was the
Hebner was the main match event. No, that's right. Because they mentioned it by name.
Okay.
I'm wondering if Kyoto came too early, because I know there was the ref bump and Triple H was giving him shit, and then all of a sudden, like, Undertaker pulled a heel move and beat the shit out of Kyoto to knock him back down. I was like,
by the way, this is during the time of Hipster Undertaker, where he was trying to make UFC look cool before UFC was cool.
Right.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Hipster Taker never took off.
I remember this being the worst time in my life. Like, I was like, I fucking hate The Undertaker right now.
I always loved it. I didn't give a shit. I was such a huge fucking mark for that guy.
You're like, oh my God, now he's a dead guy in a motorcycle. I fucking love it.
It's like Ghost Rider without the fire.
It was so weird that, like, it kind of pulled the
I hated it.
It kind of pulled the veil back, because like they finally let him do promos, and it was like, what the fuck?
The coolest thing he did as American Badass was when he started fucking taking small guys like Matt Hardy, putting the chair under their throat and fucking smashing it.
Oh my God, that was great!
Yeah, that was awesome.
Match with Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, that stuff was all awesome. Like, that was all awesome, but I hated that fucking character so much. I was like, just go back to being a dead guy.
And I remember when they were doing the what chance after he turned heel.
Yeah,
they're like, what? He goes, say what if you like to sleep with your sister?
What else was cool? I think I went to a SmackDown taping and he like fucking murdered Hulk Hogan. it was pretty. No, he just came out, and just fucking wiped the floor with Hulk Hogan. I was like, yeah, there we go.
Oh yeah, that was the
Hey man, that was probably Hulk Hogan woke up. Remember when I bought a slam to Andre?
Yeah.
It was 200,000 people.
He woke up.
And mountains moved, and the heavens shook.
He woke up. He woke up, and the people were cheering him, and he was like, "Thank you, Silverdome."
That must have been like 2002 when they were doing the hot potato with the fucking title. Like,
yeah, I'm pretty sure that was the night I saw Rob Van Dam wrestle twice too.
It was like you have the title. It was like you have the title for a month. You have the title for a month. You have the title for a month. It's like
what's that?
And he lost it to the Taker.
Yeah, Taker. Ugh. What about this match? What about this match though?
The match was good.
Yeah, it was good.
No, it was solid.
They had chemistry, you know.
Undertaker kept the streak going at the time, 9-0 after this match.
If you didn't know that Undertaker fought Triple H 3 times, she's too young for you, bro.
Exactly. Exactly. Which led us to the main event.
Oh my God, this match.
This is for all the marbles.
Rock and Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock.
Rock and Austin had the greatest chemistry of all time, dude. Oh my God.
This match, and I'll say this forever, this match didn't turn around at all. I mean, they won, and I get where they were doing, but man, the Austin heel the next day, this is simple because, remember, they changed it to no disqualification match right before it started, and the whole match, JR and Heyman are like, oh, who made this a no disqualification match? We'll never know. They could have done the reveal on Raw.
Right.
Austin was getting cheered no matter what.
Well, the thing was, I still, like, at the end of this match, I was in disbelief. I was like, maybe tomorrow on Raw he's going to come out and stun him.
Yeah,
like,
same here.
I was just in complete disbelief. I was like, no fucking way.
Right.
That fucking match was just...
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I remember watching it live, and I was like, what the fuck am I watching here?
I've seen this match way more than once, so, I mean, I missed out today watching it, but I've seen this match way more than once. As soon as it became apparent that Austin was siding with Vince McMahon, he murdered The Rock with 1,000 chair shots.
He did. Yeah. I did...
strong though, like Roman Reigns strong.
This was this was like Brock Lesnar with suplexes, except Steve Austin had a chair.
Yeah. I did try and do that, sync up the Austin alternate commentary from his podcast.
Yes.
I was off by like 2 or 3 seconds, but it worked.
Okay.
I meant to ask you guys before, what do you mean by the commentary?
Oh, on his podcast.
Uh-huh.
He just did a podcast where he was watching the match and did a did his own commentary over it. Like, not like calling the match, but talking about the behind the scenes. Like, he started at the end of the My Way package, and he was going through the whole thing. Like, okay, this is what we're leading up to. Gives his thoughts. Like, he'll watch the match, give his thoughts on the match, and talk about the behind the scenes stuff that was going on. He said that. I did listen to a little bit of it where he was saying that before, if you watch the match, you barely see them talk to each other in the match.
Right, right.
Like, you know how you can tell sometimes they hit a rest hold and guys are going, hey, we're going to do this next. He said for like a week or so they rehearsed that match. So then they got in the ring, they didn't have to say anything to each other. Yeah. They just went into it.
Oh, man, that's
crazy.
Great.
They just had crazy chemistry, man.
Yeah, it was very cool.
And, I mean, everybody knows that Austin ended up winning to go heel, and of course nobody, I mean, people might have known at the time, but some people might not have known that Rock was going to film Scorpion King or one of the Scorpion King movies.
He was only in the first one, or you know, wait, he might have been in the, I feel like
he was in The Mummy.
Wasn't he in like the end of one of the Mummy movies? It was like the end of it or something.
Yeah, he was in the end of one of the Mummy movies, and then
they had the Scorpion King. Yeah, he was leaving. Wasn't gone that long because it was 18. Him and Hogan.
He was gone. Yeah. Well, no, he was gone like 3 or 4 months. That's really it.
That's when he started to go.
Yeah, it started to get less and less weird.
He only had The Rock for like 4 good years.
He started becoming Undertaker, showing up once a year. Then he just totally disappeared.
It's kind of weird that they did the whole like indefinite suspension write off to get him out of the storylines.
They didn't think that far.
But yeah, I think he's done another match. I don't know if it was the WrestleMania. I don't know if it was WrestleMania 13.
There were a few because I was looking at his. He did do the WrestleMania 13 for himself, but on the regular.
Yeah, with him and Brett.
Yeah, the regular Steve Austin podcast. I feel like he did more. There were like some tag team matches that he did, like commentary over and stuff like that.
It's kind of cool. Like,
I like that, dude. I turn on the audio commentary sometimes on the DVDs I have. Like you get like one of those Stone Cold Steve Austin, like the 3-disc thing, like a lot of those matches he picked, so he did commentary over them with like JR or whatever. Cool. Yeah. Like I never was interested in that stuff because like sometimes I watch a movie, like if there's a movie I like, I'll watch like the director's commentary. It'll be like a director and a star of the movie. And I'm like, that's cool, but what the hell do you do for a wrestling match? Because there's already like, what do you do with a wrestling match? Because all they do is, do they just call the match? Because the match is already being called,
right?
But then I see kind of what Steve Austin did. I'm like, well, that's kind of fucking cool, man. It gives you a lot of insight. It gives you a lot of insight.
Yeah, for sure. And I like when they do that with like both guys that were in the match.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Sometimes they'll do that too.
I saw a whole like ECW show where it was like Tommy Dreamer and Danny Doring doing like a commentary over it. It was really cool.
Nice.
Yeah, it was neat. But yeah, this match, man, made a 20-year-old me cry. I was a fucking huge Steve Austin mark, dude. I don't give a fuck. As was much of the planet, but at the time I felt like I was the biggest Steve Austin mark on the fucking planet. So
Well, I was maybe a close second.
I got a little choky about that shaking hands.
My brother's favorite wrestler, Steve Austin, so he was upset. I remember that.
I was real upset, dude. I was super upset. I was like, no. I was like, this isn't true. Raw's coming out tomorrow, and he's just gonna fucking stun everybody. Who gives a fuck?
It's a setup.
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, maybe he just wanted the belts. But like, if you look back at the buildup, it was like the belt had a power over him. Like, he just wanted the belt so bad.
Yeah, that was the story. Like, he'll do anything to have the belt.
Yeah, he wanted the belt so bad that he would do anything. So then when, like, I kind of thought about that, and I'm like, oh, maybe he just, maybe just do anything. And then tomorrow on Raw, he's like, okay, I got the belt now. Fuck you, Vince McMahon. But that was...
Yeah.
Then we got what?
I let it Goofy singing Steve Austin.
Yeah. Can I say something? Can I say something that's really funny? When Kurt Angle came out for his match, he was talking about Texas, and he was like, come on, guys. He's like, you aren't kids anymore. Take off those cowboy hats. And I'm like, little do you know, Kurt.
Little do you know, you're going to have a little baby cowboy hat.
Yo, man, I'll tell you, Kurt Angle and anything was fucking ridiculous.
Oh, dude, he was so good. Even before the match, like, on that show, he was, like, intently watching the video of Chris Benoit making him taps, like, if there was no ref, it wasn't official, right?
that's like the whole if a tree falls in the forest and no one was there to hear did it fall or something like that, or did it make a sound or something like that.
Even after the match, that
so good, man.
That feud obviously continued.
I forget how good Kurt was, man. Awesome. So good.
Yeah, he was good.
It's true. It's damn.
He
true.
Was funny, man.
I will say,
I guess I don't want to see any. Anymore.
I don't know.
I will say versus, compared to the Austin heel turn at WrestleMania 17, the time that I was more confused or didn't really know what direction they were going was that night back in, 98, when I think we talked about it in the last podcast, where they did the double finish where, it was Austin stunning Kane and Undertaker and then counting them out. And then Vince fired him. I was still kind of like, I didn't really get the whole deal. So I wondered if like maybe he was fired for real. And like, I didn't think he was going to go to WCW, but I was like, what the fuck's going to happen? Like with Stone Cold now.
As most of us, we were there for pretty much the birth of Austin, like the character.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know how to feel. Like there was that time when he first stunned McMahon, like the first time ever. I was like, I'm like, am I supposed to boo this guy? Am I supposed to boo this guy? Because he just stunned like fucking an announcer. Like,
right.
Those are bad guy tactics. Like I'm not supposed to be behind this.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that time when Austin stomached man for the first time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you, dude.
Son of a bitch.
You're fired.
See, the only trump card I have at all is, hey, guys, you remember Raw, the last Nitro? Yeah, I was there. That's the only trump card I have.
Yeah, fuck you, fuck you, Mr. Depressing. Mr. I was there the night wrestling died.
Well, the funny thing is I just stumbled into that. Like I had been wanting to go at that point. I was a fan for 11 years and my buddy was like, hey, you want to go to Raw? I was like, sweet, let's go. And then, then it was like, oh, there'll be a simulcast with WCW and Vince has bought WCW. I was like, holy shit. Really? Like it was weird. Like, okay, I'm going to witness some history tonight.
Here's my moment, guys. I was there the night after Austin joined the Alliance.
You got it, man.
Well, so I bow down.
Yeah, I know you really should because my moment was way more milestone than yours.
I'd say really I'd really say the second milestone for me was speaking of your good friend World Warrior Animal. I was there the night when him and Heidenreich won the tag team titles over Eminem.
Were you there the night when Sid broke his leg and the special guy was Animal?
No.
I was there when Eric Bischoff showed up on Raw for the first time.
Were you?
Oh, man.
That's actually pretty cool, dude.
It was funny because they showed him. The first time they showed him, Booker T was doing an interview.
Yeah.
And Eric Bischoff just came up like, hey, guys. And Booker T says, tell me I didn't just see that. Right? The thing is, nobody knew Eric Bischoff was showing up except for like Triple H or, you know, the McMahons, you know?
Right, right, right.
So awesome. Booker T's reaction was real.
Yeah, well, actually, no, I read his book too, Controversial Creates Cash, and it's actually decent. It's not bad.
I don't have a lot of – I don't have any – I was at November to Remember when it was Tajiri versus Super Crazy versus Jerry Lynn, I think.
Who all three of those were very underrated.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure that was the triple threat match. Yeah, I went to the – it was like – I think they had just like a house show, and then there were like two pay-per-views that they ran here. They ran a lot of shows here, but I definitely went to the – I definitely did. They came to the fucking Flickinger Center. I was on top of it.
I'm trying to think of like. Or Trump cards.
The night that Van Damme lost the TV title to Bam Bam, I was there.
There you go. November to Remember 1999.
WWE title from John Cena.
What's that? You hugged John Cena? What happened?
I was there when RVD won the title from John Cena.
Ah, one night stand too.
I have my jersey. I think I'm gonna wear it on WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think you win.
Chris, the one you were talking about was November to Remember 1999.
Yes, November to Remember 1999. Yes, I was there.
Quick rundown of the card: Spike Dudley defeating Simon Diamond, Little Guido defeating Nova, Jerry Lynn defeating Tajiri, and Super Crazy.
That was like the best match too.
The Baldies. Defeating New Jack and the Hardcore Chair Swinging Freaks, Axel Rotten and Balls Mahoney. Sabu defeating Chris Candido. Mike Awesome defeating Masato Tanaka. Fucking RVD arrow. Defeating Taz. And Rhino and the Impact Players defeating Raven, Tommy Dreamer, and the Sandman in a six-man tag.
Fucking we right.
We should review this pay-per-view in the future.
That's not a bad card.
We should review this for
sure. The one where RVD loses the TV title to Bam Bam Bigelow, my friend's brother was security, and you could see him in the see him a couple times in the audience.
Nice.
Oh man.
Remember when Shawn Michaels came back from his injury and he fought Triple H in a street fight, non-sanctioned match?
When he had the Prince Valiant haircut, yeah.
Yes. I was there.
Doo-doo tights, Sean.
That match, when they announced that match, that cemented it that we were going. Because we were like, we'll go to SummerSlam.
I think in that SummerSlam match, he was wearing jeans. He didn't wear the doo-doo tights until Survivor Series.
Was it an Elimination Chamber or whatever?
Elimination Chamber.
The only reason I remember that is because I had that best of the Elimination Chamber DVD.
which didn't really change because I think the SummerSlam was in New Jersey and Survivor Series was in Madison Square Garden. So they were like, we're just going to keep our pay-per-views in the Northeast. Why not?
I like when they do that.
Me too. Remember when the Rock team with John Cena Survivor Series?
Fuck, were you there too?
Yeah, if you've been to anything post like 2007, I really don't give a shit. That's not a milestone. You could just be like, hey, remember when John Cena won that match at that place? Yeah, I was there.
remember when John Cena made his return at the Royal Rumble, surprising everybody because he was supposed to be off for like 3 more months?
God, that made me angry. You were there.
Yeah, I was there.
That was my
first Royal Rumble too.
You're probably more mad than I was.
I was like, actually, it didn't hit me at first when the music. I'm like, "Hey, what the hell? Oh, wait, that's John Cena."
I was like, "The dirt sheet said he was supposed to be gone for 6 months."
Yeah.
Oh God. Oh yeah.
People boom and think
Hey guys. You remember that time Ric Flair went to this convention that nobody else went to except for me?
Uh-huh. I do.
Yeah, I met him.
Nice. You remember that time that they had the Great American Bash in 2006, and then they had a Raw house show the night before that started at 5 o'clock? I was there.
Oh, nice, dude.
Is that the Great American Bash on Long Island? Because I was there.
No, that was the one. That was the one in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Anything in the greater New York area, this guy is there.
I was there when Triple H fought Kozlov and Jeff Hardy in a triple threat match.
Oh God, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's fine. But that had Edge and
remember when Triple H came back from his quad injury? I was there.
I wasn't there. I was supposed to be there, but I was in Florida. My brothers were there.
Damn it. Man. I thought you were there. I was trying to be you for a second.
No. That's the same thing. They started the fucking You Suck chant. My brother started that chant.
That's awesome.
Well, to hear him tell it, believe him.
He was usurped by Philadelphia with their John Cena sucks.
Yeah, all those years later, I think let it go.
Out of all those things, like, nobody ever thought of that until Royal Rumble Philadelphia?
Right?
No, it was before that.
Really? I never heard that until that Royal Rumble. That's awesome.
I forget, it was a random crowd, dude. John Cena sucks.
That's awesome. Oh, yes.
Well, no, the frustrating thing with the crowds going into business for themselves now is half the chance when you're there, you can't understand what the fuck they're talking about.
Oh, some of them were really – like, when I was at the Raw after WrestleMania, and WrestleMania 29, Ziggler won the title.
At the Izod Center?
Yes. The fucking chants, they were chanting for the ice cream vendor.
Yeah, they were.
They gave us this Randy Orton Sheamus match that nobody wanted to see.
They're like, we want popcorn.
And we just shit over it.
So
good.
At that moment in the night is the only time I felt for that crowd. Because I was like, Orton and Sheamus again? Why?
That's kind of like Fandango versus Dolph Ziggler again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when we were trying to get Fandango over, but realized that it was just a song that was over. It's funny. I remember leaving that, and everyone's doing the Fandango thing, right? And I was doing the yes. I started doing the yes chants, and someone's like, "That was last year, man."
Yeah.
Little did we know, the Fandango chants would be over.
Right.
And it would be yes chants forever and ever.
They will live on in infamy.
Yeah, I don't remember any more shows I was at this moment. I was at a King of the Ring.
I just know that I don't remember how many shows. I just know it's been a lot. I'd say 90 to 95% WWE and like a couple of TNA shows, one Ring of Honor, one ESW, but I'd say 90 to 95% WWE.
I've been to two Ring of Honor, one TNA show, one, I don't remember the name of the group. I made, me and my roommate, my old roommate, we used to make t-shirts. And we made t-shirts for a wrestler, and then we went to the show.
Oh. Nice.
Barbarian was there, I think. I don't remember.
Oh, awesome. Barbarian.
Oh, I met Michael Lashon there.
Oh, really?
And Million Dollar Man. Yeah, I got a picture somewhere of Million Dollar Man putting me in the Million Dollar Dream.
Nice.
Interesting.
Better than Virgil.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody, you know what? Dude, I know. I went to the convention with over the weekend. Mm-hmm. This dude from around here, he came with me. Or he didn't come with me, but he was there and I met up with him. Mm-hmm. He was telling me about his experience at this he went to New York Comic Con a couple years ago, I think.
Okay.
Right.
And he was telling me about, they had like a thing. They had like Brutus Beefcake, Greg the Hammer Valentine, and someone else. And he asked all three of them to chop him. He took his shirt off and took chops from all three of those guys. I don't remember who the other one was, though.
You ever see the video of Umaga chopping the guy from the Spirit Squad?
No.
Oh, my God. It's like the biggest frat. John Cena's leading it, right?
Yeah.
They're like a restaurant, whatever. And I forget which one it was.
Yeah.
I was thinking toss, but Umaga was just John Cena was just like, "Ooh, my God!" And he would just fucking hit this guy so hard. Like, it would, you look it up. It was fucking brutal, man. And John Cena,
oh man,
"Ooh, my God!" He's like, "Ah!" And boom. That's
and, like, we'll tell. Oh, then he was talking about he met Virgil, and I was like, "You paid to meet Virgil?" No, it's like,
no,
he's like,
watching my car.
He's like, well, he had the $1 million belt with him. I'm like, so what?
Somebody who paid to meet Virgil?
Yeah.
That's
it's
the
so...
one guy that's done it. I've heard stories and I feel bad. Like,
I've heard stories too where like he shows up to conventions, just nobody wants to have anything to do with him.
Yeah, and some she walked by his table was like, who gives it's Virgil?
No, oh, it's so bad.
I would totally do that. I'm like, who gives a shit? It's Virgil.
Well, I don't have a problem with him. I just don't like the fact that, and I've heard this third person, but I've heard that he pesters people to purchase an autograph.
Well, that's
or...
because no one will go up to him. He's trying to make some
but
money.
Like he's gone like down in like New York City subways and like set up autograph tables. Like, dude, what the hell?
That's where Mark met him first.
I heard he was my waiter at Friday.
That's where, yeah, out front.
No, I'm kidding. Still, you can picture it. Though. That's why.
I was like, first time, it's weird. First time I met Virgil was in front of a Dunkin' Donuts.
And if you asked Ric Flair, you'd probably run into Shane Douglas at a Target.
Dude, Shane Douglas, or Ric Flair fucking hates ECW.
First time I met Virgil, donuts. Oh, yeah? Well, I don't know, sleeping in a box or something.
He was asleep with a Sharpie in his hand.
I'm Virgil, also known as Vincent.
Also known as
he's like, he's like, hold on, guys.
What was his name? Curly Bill? Was that the one in West Texas?
God,
oh yeah, he was the West Texas Rednecks, Curly Bill.
His fucking name is Michael Jones, and he was like, yeah, Virgil's better.
It's like, hold on, guys. Will this make you recognize me? Just puts an NWO T-shirt on.
They're like, no, because there was 30 Paul? Guys in the NWO.
He's like, yeah, but I was the only black guy.
Oh, man.
And then somebody's like, Stevie Ray?
He puts on his striped referee pants.
Right? Striped referee pants. How about now? Roddy Piper trained me, remember?
How about now? He lays on the ground. Pin me. Go ahead.
Like, oh shit, Virgil's here. All right, no.
Wait. Are you Flash Funk from the Job Squad? No.
He's like, hold on. Do you remember me now? And he starts shining. He starts shining my shoes. starts shining my shoes. I'm like, oh yeah, everybody's got a price.
He's like, yeah.
And I have a price too. So I just shined your shoes. It's gonna be $25.
Yeah, and I have a price too. Yeah, Virgil, we know it's 50 cents. We got it.
All right.
Remember that? Remember on my first day, he was like, fuck with the kids in the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
And like, a little black guy to dribble a basketball 15 times. And you give him $100. And he gets the 14 and he kicks the ball out.
Yeah, he like smacks the ball away.
I forget which stuff.
So good.
Dude, he was the man. I remember the whole...
Yeah, no, I remember seeing that about Rob Van Dam being one of them.
I remember the whole big deal, like, when he was having the... He had the $1 million belt made and shit, and he had to go to the jewelry store and get it.
Funny, true story about that. I haven't told you guys, but I met the $1 million man. He was in a... Because he became born-again Christian, and he's a pastor now.
Yeah.
I lived in Queens. I worked in the deli, and across the street from the deli was one of those born Christian churches.
Yeah.
And he was going to be a guest there for a few days for they did a thing called Summerfest.
Yeah.
So I went there preaching and shit and whatever, blah, but $1 million man told a story. Is like, on the real $1 million belt, on the back, you know, the whole thing is fake. You know, on the back, there are two diamonds. And he says, the reason we did it, because if everyone goes, hey, you got real diamonds on that belt? He could say yes.
Smart.
Yeah.
Man, maybe Ric Flair should have took lessons.
He would have took the diamonds. What are you kidding?
Yeah. So do you have a question for us this week, Mark?
I have a question. I wasn't really thinking about it.
No, I must get my question this week, unless it comes up with one in the next few minutes.
All right. I'll pose a question. I'll pose a question to both of you in the form of an overrated, underrated. I'll name off a few random guys, and you tell me if you think they're overrated or underrated.
Pose it, and we're out of here.
All right. Is Austin Aries overrated or underrated?
He's rated. I mean, he's not over or under. He's just – he gets the credit he deserves, but that's it.
Yeah, that's true.
Early Austin Aries, I would say underrated, but now it seems like he's like, I'm getting my TNA check. I'm cool with my
I'm just folding it in.
I'm cool with my $250 a week. So
for taping four shows in 4 days and then not doing any more shots on for them. But I guess he's doing like House of Hardcore and some other indie stuff, which is weird too. Because
they let those guys. I think that's the only thing they let those guys do is House of Hardcore.
Like for the longest time, TNA was like, no, exclusive, and now they're like, yeah, do whatever the fuck you want because we're taping.
We might as well find out where.
Right.
ROH. Right. You know what? The time ROH was awesome was when it was like TNA and ROH. They would just exchange talents, but then you know Rob Feinstein.
Yeah.
I think I got a question.
Go ahead, Dan.
Finish your thing first. You're
okay. I'll do a couple more.
What's next?
Overrated or underrated? The Big Boss Man, aka Ray Trailer.
Underrated.
I don't think he was anything.
He was a good big man. Like he could move for a fat guy.
Yeah,
and he never had really solid matches, but
I did like his enthusiasm putting the Mountie in jail. I did like that.
Oh man, we gotta watch and review SummerSlam 91 at some point. That was a solid card.
Yeah, man, in Wembley Stadium.
That was a solid card. Oh, SummerSlam! Well, SummerSlam 92. That was a good card as well. 92, SummerSlam 92. Right. Yeah.
That was one.
Lastly, the last one I'll mention is overrated or underrated Dr. Death Steve Williams.
Don't know enough about him to.
Yeah. You kind of hit me with that one. I don't know too much about him. The only time I saw him was like later, and all he did was either stand next to Jim Ross, or then he stood next to the fake Jim Ross.
I wish they would have marketed them better, but I know the short time that him and Terry Gordy were a tag team in WCW in 1992, they were kicking the shit out of people.
Bam Bam, Battle of the Bam Bams. Bam Bam Bigelow versus Bam Bam Terry Gordy.
They should have had a match for the rights to the gimmick, man.
Terry Gordy would beat the shit out of Bam Bam Bigelow.
Right. Now this is kind of a think about a question.
Uh-huh.
Because and it goes on here about wealth of indie knowledge. Because
Sting
showing up in WWE for the first time ever. He's obviously the biggest name to never step foot in the ring. Step foot in the ref ring.
Right.
Who's the biggest name now? Or who would you like to see in the WWE right now? On the main roster, not NXT.
Yeah.
Like anyone? It could be anyone.
Like who's like the biggest name you could think of that hasn't been in WWE that should be? And I'm not talking about like those guys that, you know, that tried out.
Yeah. Like they've never been in WWE even as a jobber.
No, no. If they were like, you know how like Daniel Bryan fought John Cena in a tryout match like years ago.
Right.
Like, use the real name. Right. You can use guys like that.
Yeah.
But like we've never been like promoted heavily on a show and like, oh my god, we got this guy.
I really think AJ Styles could excel in WWE. To be honest with you,
I agree.
I would agree. Look what they did to Daniel Bryan. So AJ Styles, I don't know if he'll excel, but he'll. Damn, try
as hard. Yeah.
I got Bobby Roode, man.
Yeah, Bobby Roode is amazing. Other than that,
Bobby Roode is what
Austin Aries would be great.
Bobby Roode is what Curtis Axel would like to be.
Because Bobby Roode reminds me of like a Mr. Perfect JBL hybrid, kind of.
Fucking Beer Money was so fantastic.
So over, man. Who else? Honestly, like, I'd like to see him. He was in NXT, but I'd like to see him back. I think he should stay in TNA for a little while and kind of get seasoned a little bit more. Is Ethan Carter the third? He was Derek Bateman in NXT.
Holy shit, that guy was money.
He's totally awesome TNA.
He's good as a heel, man. Like he's young, so he's still kind of getting his, you know, digging in his heels as a bad guy. But he's like he's getting it down, like being like a dastardly like piece of shit heel. Like he's good.
We watched the NXT season he was with Daniel Bryan as his mentor.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's so fucking great. Like the way they interact and the comic timing, it's just fantastic.
Yeah, I like Derek Bateman too.
What about Samoa Joe? That's an underrated, overrated question for you guys.
Apparently, he's about to be in WWE.
I think he's underrated. I've never seen, and maybe
he can work, dude.
Maybe the dude just has a special place in my heart because, well, two reasons. Back when I used to train in mixed martial arts, my trainer told me that I reminded him of Samoa Joe. And also too, I've never seen a big man do the shit Samoa Joe can do. Honestly, I've never seen somebody 285 pounds do a spinning kick.
A Mossy family credenza.
Yeah.
A Mossy family credenza.
I mean, you expect him to do stuff like the muscle buster.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, but. You know, even when he'll do the bounce off the ropes and do the splash, he does it with ease. He makes it look easy.
Let me tell you about Samoa Joe.
What's up?
I never liked him in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Like I thought he was just like a piece of shit. Like my old roommate used to love, like, you gotta see this guy Samoa Joe, and he was showing me Samoa Joe match. I'm just like, meh. I don't like him. When he was in TNA, I didn't like him.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to realize. I finally made Joe a badass in TNA a couple years ago. That's when I saw, oh, that's the guy that's out. But to me, Samoa Joe's always been like overrated to me.
And no, I get what you're saying. Yeah, like I thought he showed potential when Angle first came in TNA and they were doing that, but I think they hot-shotted that way too quick.
Oh yeah, they did. Like everything else they do.
Yeah, but I think when they did the Nation of Violence thing with Joe, and like kind of showed a new when they kind of did the new wrinkle where he was like just dastardly and he had the friggin' machete and he was had the partial face paint and he was ready to just fucking annihilate people.
Yeah.
And he hung Daivari up by his legs and he was in the back. Like, what the fuck?
All right.
Let's roll out, fellas.
Roll out.
Autobots.
All right. Next week, our fourth week in the Road to WrestleMania, we will go back in time and review WrestleMania 3.
Yes. And that all leads up to.
That all leads up to the granddaddy of them all, WrestleMania 31.
The live cast.
Yes. Yes. We hope our ducks align so we're able to do that.
Absolutely.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
They're talking about me working. They're like, oh, we're going to need you to work that Sunday. Not tonight, you're not.
Oh. You're going to need to find somebody else.
I can't work.
All right, guys. Cool. I'm Dizzo.
El Toro Loco, as always.
And. The vanilla, not manila midget.
All right, guys. Good night.
Good night.
Peace.
Well, folks, I do believe that's going to bring another episode of Jerking the Curtain to an end. If this has not quenched your appetite for all things Jerking the Curtain, please proceed to your nearest medical facility to have your headache. And once you're discharged with a rash they don't know the name of and they give you some cream to put on it twice a day, head on over to our Facebook page at facebook.com/jerkinthecurtain716. You can also send us a tweet at jerkinthecurtain on Twitter. JRKINTHECURTAIN. Or on a desktop or laptop, visit twitter.com/jerkinthecurtain. You can also send us an email at the jerkinthecurtain email address, jerkinthecurtain@gmail.com. Feel free to listen to us on Podomatic, Stitcher Radio, and iTunes. We also ask that you share with your friends. Tell them what you like about us. Tell them what you don't like about us. Get the word around. Spread the word. Once again, we thank you for all your support and look forward to having you as a listener in the future.
I'm different because I respect my audience and I don't yell at them. And I'm special because I respect my audience.
Yeah!
Shut the fuck up!
She listened to what the MC said. She might as well plug the RCA cords into her head. Taking that into consideration, at the center of creation, cats still criticize my frustration. Raps, well off he goes, coming, cop some flows. Cross your toes in hopes that I don't climb you like an obstacle. Mission impossible, fishing in the kitchen sink. Y'all have fall for anything, so what you think this kid'll bring? Poker face, let me hold my place, the namesake of slug. But you can call me Stroker Ace. Open invitation to catch today's ejaculation all across the front of your pretty little apron. This goes to those that want a mouthful of Sean's glow. Thanks for starting now, you're barking down the wrong road. Sacrifice plays a part in grabbing mics from now till the afterlife. I'll continue passion like I love this fucking whore with all my heart. And ain't nobody gonna stop me from doing my part. It gave me life, it saved me life, it raised me right. So slide shoulder side and please hand over that mic. Who am I? One of a kind, send them one at a time. You're all the same, only separate by kick snares and names. Some of you all even share the same name. So fuck you and your lies, baby, show no shame. What is this? One of a kind, send them one at a time. You're all the same, only separate by kick snares and names. Some of you all even share the same name. So fuck you and your lies, baby, show no shame. So point a finger at the sucker that's having a good summer. Ain't got no bread, no wheat, no wonder. But I got the phone number to this weakness I know. Who can put me back together, make me feel whole? So take me apart, try to break me down, and spend all you got just to hate the clown. You can fake the frown, imitate the sound. Underworld, worldwide, wide world of underground. It goes one little, two little, three little indie rap. Headphones, backpack, watch them all piggyback. Switch up my styles, they all complain. But see, which kids next year sound the same as me? The same shit yesterday was like today. Only difference is I trust even less of what you say. But all in all, I still make the noise. I still break the toys. I still hate your voice. I still say fuck a major label till it limps. Put your deal up on our table and we'll show you who's the pimp. There is no sympathy for the careless. Fuck the extra credit and fuck the demerits. Class dismissed.
One of them got, one of them got, one of them got.
One of a kind, send them one at a time. You're all the same, only separate by kick snares and names. Some of y'all even share the same name. So fuck you and your lies, baby, show no shame. What is this? One of a kind, send them one at a time. You're all the same, only separate by kick snares and names. Some of y'all even share the same name. So fuck you and your lies, baby, show no shame. Who am I? One of a kind, one at a time. So fuck you and your lies, baby, show no shame.
One of a kind.